Welcome to Threshold Church. Today's message is from Pastor Jake Kale.
Let's pray. And then we're going to talk about prayer, and then we're going to pray. All right? That's kind of how it's going to go this morning. We're going to pray, then we're going to, I have a word really just burning in my heart. I'm going to release that relates to prayer. And then we're going to just go into some immediate intercession for some things. But let's just ask God to really lead this time. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful to meet with us. Even just every time we gather together, God, you are faithful to lead us. You are faithful to move by your Spirit. We just honor the Holy Spirit, and we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You are welcome to move here. You're welcome to lead here. We just say, Jesus, this is your church, God. This is your house, and we want you to have your way. And so, Father, even in this time, as we dive into your word, God, and through this message, I thank you for the power of your word, and I pray that the full release of the power of your word would go forth today. I thank you that today, God, your word goes forth and brings awakening, God, that's breathed upon by your Spirit, God, that you stir up our hearts, and I pray that you release, God, a spirit of intercession in this time. God, I thank you that you're connecting the dots about prayer and even about why it's so important for your people and for this time and for what you're doing in this church, God. So I just ask you just to breathe upon this time, bring illumination, bring direction, and bless this time, Lord. I thank you that your word will fulfill its purpose today. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Open up your Bible to the book of Exodus. How about that? Genesis, Exodus. Second book of the Bible in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 17. We're going to be reading starting at verse 8 in just a minute or two. I just want to give a little bit of context for where we're going this morning. Exodus chapter 17, starting at verse 8. So a few weeks ago, I think it was the first week in February 2nd, I released a message. It was more of a vision casting message, and it was about vision for 2020 and beyond. I know many of you were here for that. If you were not here for that, I want to strongly encourage you to go to our website and listen to it, threshold-church.com. Go to the media page. Listen to the message from February 2nd about vision for 2020 and beyond, because a lot of what you're going to see happening this year and beyond is going to be coming from that message, that vision casting. And part of what I said that day, because it's going to tie into this morning, is that, just to give a quick summary, is that I said that we are called to be an apostolic hub, an apostolic resource center for the region. Yes, we are a local congregation. Yes, there's going to be pastoral care and ministry. But it's also beyond that. It's a vision that is regional and beyond. It is God-focused. We want the Holy Spirit to have his way. And then in that message, I highlighted four areas. And the first one I said is that we're called to be a house of prayer. None of this vision is necessarily new, but it's tying a lot of pieces together, making it clear, putting it on paper, and then just taking steps to be intentional. But the first thing I said is we're called to be a house of prayer. The second thing I said is we're called to be a center of restoration and healing, a place of deliverance, a place of healing, a place of restoration for those that have been hurt or abused or wounded, standing with those that have been victims. And then the third thing I said is that we're going to be a center for equipping, a base for equipping, a place to be equipped. Let me just make this declaration over you. You are not a crowd. You are not a crowd. You are an army. You are not a crowd. I'm not going to be talking to you like a crowd, like you're just a passive audience. You're not an audience. You're an army. You're not a crowd. You are saints that are meant to be equipped. And so we are going to be doing more and more equipping. And then the fourth thing I said is that we are a place for sending. Sending. Now, that's a big topic. That's birthing ministries. That is sending for evangelism. That's missions. That's outreach. That's all kind of different things. And this vision is not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen just because I preached on it one day. We're going to be taking intentional steps over this year and over the next. So you'll be hearing more about that. But the first thing, I was very intentional to make prayer the first focus. And I hope that this message is going to help bring clarity as to why that's the case. So Exodus chapter 17, starting at verse 8, it says, Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. This was the first battle now that Israel was going to be facing. Just to give you the context, this is after Moses had gone to Egypt. After Israel had been enslaved in Egypt for all those years, Moses goes. And after the whole course of time and all the plagues and, you know, they crossed the Red Sea. And now Moses is leading them out in the wilderness. And the goal is now to go towards the promised land. So this is where they're at. And now they're coming up against an enemy army. This is the first time they had to do battle after coming out of Egypt. Okay, so they're out of Egypt, they've crossed the Red Sea, they're journeying in the wilderness, their goal is to now go to the promised land, and now they're coming up against an enemy army, the Amalekites. So verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. So Joshua was Moses' right-hand man. He was like Moses' assistant that Moses was training, and eventually he would be the next leader. So Moses appoints Joshua to go lead the charge, to lead an army into battle, because that's what's happening. There's a conflict. But notice then what it says. Tomorrow, I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Let me tell you something. That is not a battle strategy that makes any sense in the natural. Joshua, muster up the troops. I'm going to go stand and put my hands in the air. Okay? Right? Not a battle strategy that you would think is an effective strategy or is strategic or is going to do anything, right? But that's what Moses said to do. He sends out Joshua, and he says, I'm going to go on the mountain. I'm going to hold up the rod. And so in verse 10, Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it was, this is a key verse, so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. They became tired, right? I mean, you hold your hands up long enough, your shoulders start to get sore. You know, sometimes I forget to tell people to put their hands down when I'm praying for deliverance in a corporate setting. I say, lift your hands up in the air, and then, everyone's hands up, and then 5 minutes later, hands start to go down, right? And I say, oh, I'm sorry, you can put your hands down. Or your hands get tired just after a couple minutes, right? If you're holding a rod, I'm not sure how much it weighed, but there's a weight to that. So his arms are getting tired, it says. So here's what it says they did. They took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now look at the end result, verse 13. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Now what God just did in giving us this passage, it's like he gave us an inside scoop of actually what was going on during this battle. Because everyone else on the ground didn't have this information. They're just battling, and sometimes it looks like Israel's, advancing and pushing forward. Sometimes it looks like Israel's being pushed back, and the Amalekites are advancing, right? It's just back and forth battle, and the people on the ground don't necessarily know why and what's going on, but we get this inside scoop of actually what was going on, and here's what I want you to see from this story. That battle was not won on the battlefield. That battle was won on the mountain. That battle was not won. Yes, it did require people to go fight. Yes, Joshua had to get the troops. They had to put the armor on. They had to go out. Yes, it required obedience. It required action. It required warfare. But the actual result of why that battle was won was not because of the battlefield, but because of the mountaintop. And it says, as long as Moses' hands were up, now, let me explain what that means. That is a posture of intercession. Intercession is a type of prayer. There's different types of prayer, and intercession is a form of prayer when you're praying on behalf of something or a situation or a person. You're standing in the gap, and you're interceding, you're praying on behalf of a person or a situation. So Moses' hands being lifted up to God represents his intercession, his prayer, his cries to God on behalf of the people of Israel. And as long as his hands were up, they were winning. It's an amazing story. It's an amazing story. The battle was won on the mountain, not on the battlefield. The battle was won because of prayer. The battle was won because of intercession. Now, the implication here is that if Moses would not have been up there interceding, they would have lost the battle. That's exactly what it implies. How important is prayer? How much does prayer matter? Sometimes we think our prayers don't matter. It can be easy to think that. It can be easy to get discouraged. Jesus knew we could easily be discouraged in prayer because he told us this. In Luke 18, he told this parable, and it said that he told the parable so that men would always pray and not lose heart because he knew it would be easy to lose heart in prayer. Because how many times have we prayed? Is it even happening? Is God even listening? Are my prayers just bouncing off the wall, right? It's easy to get discouraged. We have no idea the impact that our prayers are happening in the spiritual realm. There's a passage in Ephesians 6. It's a very well-known passage. You don't have to turn there because I'm just going to quickly reference it. It's about the armor of God. It talks about spiritual battle. We know our battle is not against flesh and blood, right? Not against humans. It's against spiritual principalities and powers of darkness in the heavenly realms. Demonic forces. There is a battle. And so Paul goes through the whole list of armor, and he says, you know, take up the shield of faith, right? The belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, right? All these things, the shoes of peace. But then the very last thing he says is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, praying continually for all God's people. See, he puts prayer, he emphasizes prayer, a strong emphasis on prayer, because without the prayer component, you can have all the armor, but you're not going to win the battle. Without the prayer component, Israel would have lost the battle. Joshua could have been the best commander. They could have had the best weapons. They could have had the best strategies. But without Moses lifting holy hands to God, I've always found it so interesting that when Moses' hands got tired, they didn't rotate. There was three of them there. Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Aaron was Moses' brother. This was like a key leadership team, right? They could have just taken shifts. Moses, you get 30 minutes. Then when you get tired, Aaron, you get 30 minutes, and then you get tired. They didn't do that. Because in that generation, in that time period, Moses had a very unique relationship with God that was very consecrated unto God. Because here's the reality. Answered prayer is not just about saying the right words. Answered prayer comes out of a lifestyle of consecration. A lifestyle of consecration was behind those hands lifted up. You have to see this. If it was just a matter of the right words, then it would be like magic. Prayer is not magic. It's not just saying the right words. We could say whatever prayers we want and just think, oh, okay, I'll pray this and God will do that. I'll pray that. God's not a genie in a bottle, right? It's relationship. Moses had such a unique face-to-face relationship with God that he was a friend of God, and God listened to his prayers. But here's the truth. Now, in that time, it was one person. Now it's a whole generation. Because in Psalm 24, it says, a generation will ascend the hill of the Lord. Not just a person, a generation. Right? In that time, it was a person. Now it's everybody's welcome, but it's still consecration. Because he said, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Psalm 24, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul to idols. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek his face. See, now God's looking for a whole generation, a whole company, a whole group of people that are consecrated to him, that will ascend the hill of the Lord, and from that posture will intercede and pray from heaven's perspective. Notice he went up. He was praying from heaven's perspective. He was praying from a heavenly place. We are seated with him in heavenly places, and we pray from that posture and from that faith. Here's something we have to understand, and it's so important that I'm constantly reminding myself and I'm reminding us as a church about this truth, because this is the framework that God established in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, is that God works on the earth through his people. It's so important to understand that. While God is sovereign, he's the ultimate authority, he is forever, he is eternal, right? There's no higher one than God, he's the creator. God is sovereign, but yet he chose to work through people. And when he created Adam and Eve, he delegated authority and responsibility on the earth to them. And one of the primary ways that we partner with God and God works through us is through prayer and intercession. Is the place of prayer, the place of intercession, the place of calling on God. It's one of the main ways that God has ordained for him to work on earth. God wants to work on earth. God wants to move in different ways. God wants his kingdom to advance. But notice he told us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He didn't say sit back and watch my kingdom come. He said you're going to have to pray it in. You're going to have to pray it in because there is a conflict going on. And this is why prayer is the first focus of our vision. Because this is where we have missed it so badly in the American church. Because we've learned how to do church without God. We've learned how to grow numbers without God's presence. We've learned how to entertain people. We've learned how to keep people around. We've learned how to have customers. You're not customers. And so because we've learned that we could do it without prayer, we've decided to do it without prayer. Because there's certain things that don't go together. And when you mix worldly systems and worldly ways into a church model, eventually prayer gets squeezed out. Because they're contrary to each other. So prayer is the first focus in our vision. I want you to also notice, though, that it's not the only focus. Because prayer has to be married to obedience. Prayer has to be married to action. Prayer has to be married to stepping out and doing something. Okay? So prayer is first, yes. And prayer has to be first because God is first. Prayer has to be first because prayer is what secures God's involvement. And his leadership and his leading, because that's how he ordained it to be. I found this quote. I was looking for this quote. I'd heard it a year or two ago. And so I Googled it. And according to Google, three different people said this quote. So I don't know if it's S.D. Gordon, A.J. Gordon, or John Bunyan. One of the three said this. I think it's S.D. Gordon, but I can't be sure. You've probably heard me say this before. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. You can do more than pray after you have prayed. You cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. So prayer is not the only thing, but it has to be the primary thing. It has to be a central thing. It has to be a first thing. Because it's what gives fuel to everything else. It's what gives fuel to everything else. Without Moses standing on the mountain praying, nothing else mattered. Now, with Moses standing on the mountain praying, yes, once that's in place, okay, then figure out the best strategy, figure out the best army, figure out the best battle plan, right? All that can be relevant after prayer's in place. When prayer's not in place, none of that matters because you're just operating in human ability. Does this make sense? This is one of the reasons why we've consistently trumpeted this message that God calls his house a house of prayer, and we must be a people of prayer. And it's one of the reasons why we're going to continue to build that, because it's what God wants. It's how God designed his house, and we conform to his pattern, because that's how he wants to move among us. That's how he wants to dwell among us and move through us. There's many purposes for prayer, right? So prayer is a multifaceted spiritual engagement, spiritual discipline. It's multifaceted. I mean, first and foremost, prayer is about knowing God. It's about relationship. It's about intimacy with God. It's about spending time in his presence. It's about being with him. But I also want you to see that it's connected to mission. It's connected to battle. Again, in the passage we read, it was connected to the battle. We don't have the luxury to only soak in God's presence all day. We're not in heaven yet. Now, I love being in God's presence. I love waiting on God. I love being in the secret place. I love just meditating on God's word and just intimately. That should be first. That's so, we can't lose that. We have to have that. But maybe sometimes we kind of take a mindset that, well, if we just kind of, we could just lay, you know, just sit in God's presence all the time and lay in God's presence. And listen, you're not just supposed to live for the secret place. You're supposed to live from the secret place. So yes, first live for the secret place. Live for his presence. Live to know him. But then as you get to know him and as you're in that place, there are going to be things that God's going to call you to do. There's going to be action that starts to happen. You're going to start to become the answer to your prayers. God's going to start to send you to be the fulfillment of the prayers that you're praying. So there's many purposes for prayer. And number one has to be relationship, but it doesn't stop there. It goes into mission. It goes into advancing God's kingdom. It goes into the battle that we're in. There's a passage I was drawn to in Matthew 9, 37, 38. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." First thing Jesus does is he identifies a problem. He said, the harvest is plentiful. There's a lot of people that need to receive the gospel, that are waiting, that are ready. The harvest is plentiful, but there's not enough people to go harvest. It's a problem he outlines. But then notice his solution. I want you to notice verse 38. We're in Matthew 9. His solution was not go. His solution was pray. Go comes later. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Because a laborer that is sent out by God will be 100 times more effective than a person who goes by their own initiative. Pray that God will thrust out the laborers. Because when somebody is a sent one, they're backed by heaven. When somebody's been sent by God, all of God's resources are with that person. Because when God sends somebody, he always promises his presence to be with them. That's what God does. He gives you an impossible assignment. And then when you say, but how? He says, I'll be with you. That's what God does all the time. He gives you an impossible assignment. And the only reassurance and promise is that I'll be with you, but that's all you need. Because if God's with you, you have everything. But God going with you is connected to being sent by God. So he said, now, but notice how the sending happens. It happens through intercession. So let's look at this progression. There's a problem. There's the lost souls that need to be saved. There's a harvest. That's the first thing. Phase two, intercession. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Intercede. Cry out to God. God, send out laborers. God, release the evangelist. God, release the God, send. God said, right? And then phase three comes. I'm not going to read it, but then it goes right. The next verse is Matthew 10. God sends out the 12. Jesus sends them out. He says, preach the kingdom. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Raise the dead. He just kind of threw that one in there. Just go ahead and raise a few dead people while you're going out. Imagine that, missions training 101. So it started with the place of intercession connected to the place of sending. I was reminded of this story I read a couple years ago. I'm going to read it from this book here. It's called The Lifestyle of a Watchman by James Gull. And I want to read this because it fits so clearly into what this message is about. Every chapter in this book is about a different facet of prayer, and this chapter is about reminding God of his word, praying God's word, which I thought was incredible because that's how Paul Brumel led us in prayer this morning. He had no idea I was going to be sharing this. But in this passage, James Gull talks about a guy named Dick Eastman. No, sorry, Dick Simmons. There's another guy named Dick Eastman, sorry. So Dick Simmons is his name. He says, back in 1958, Dick was a student at a Bible college in New York City. He was already an intercessor. In the middle of the night, he went to pray outside on the bank of the Hudson River, crying out to the Lord for New York City at the top of his voice, saying, Lord, I beseech thee, send forth laborers into your field. It was a prayer that echoed Matthew 9, 38, 7 and 38. His agonized prayers were so loud at 2 a.m., even by New York City standards, that he suddenly was bathed in floodlights on the riverbank. Cautious police officers shouted, what are you doing? You've been reported for disturbing the peace because you've been waking up people. Imagine your intercession waking up your neighbors. Imagine your intercession waking up people because you're that burden. There's a burden of the Holy Spirit. Dick bellowed back, oh, I am just praying to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his field. That was his response to the police officers. The police officers must have been shocked or else they agreed with Brother Simmons. They let him go without any charges or warnings. Here's the key. That very night, the Holy Spirit of God descended on a little skinny preacher in rural Pennsylvania and gave him a divine call to take the gospel to New York City. Do you know his name? It is David Wilkerson. It is no wonder that when David Wilkerson established the first Teen Challenge Center in New York City, he chose Dick Simmons to be its first director. If you don't know the story of David Wilkerson was a skinny little preacher, apparently, in rural Pennsylvania. Somewhere, not probably within an hour or so of here. Where was it? Grantville area. East of Hershey. Here we go. We got good info. Thanks, Mary. And he was just pastoring a small little church. I think it was a small Assembly of God church. And the Holy Spirit came upon him with a burden to go reach out to the gangs of New York City. And he tells this whole story in a book, The Cross and the Switchblade. I read it a long time ago. There's a movie about it. This was in the 50s and 60s, so many of you may not have heard of this. But he obeyed God's call, and there was an incredible movement of God that was released, and gang members that were saved. One of them, to this day, Nicky Cruz, is an incredible evangelist. He's brought hundreds of, probably thousands of people to the Lord. All right, and they established teen challenge centers to get people off of drugs, all this kind of stuff. But I want you to understand the part that we don't see was the behind-the-scenes part was that there was a burdened intercessor behind the scenes. He was crying out to God. We don't see that part, but heaven sees that part. Heaven sees, and heaven responds. And both are needed. The one who go, God needed a Dick Simmons to be interceding. He needed somebody like that to be crying out to God and be asking God, I beseech you, send forth the laborers. And God needed a David Wilkerson who would be this rural farmland preacher who would go to New York City and go confront the gang members with the love of God, with the gospel. He needed both of those. What's going on in the spiritual realm when we pray? We don't always know, but we have to be faithful. Dick Simmons got to find out. We might not find out till heaven on some of the things we're praying about. And that's okay. Be encouraged in your obedience in prayer. Be encouraged in your intercessions, in your prayers. Prayer is partnering with God. Prayer is one of the first ways that we partner with God to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if we miss that part of it, we're going to be left operating in the natural and in our own strength and in our own devices. I've used this illustration several times now, but it's like the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. The disciples could have taken those 5 loaves and 2 fish and tried to go feed the multitudes, and they could have fed 1 or 2 people. Or they could bring everything to God and partner with heaven. And then you see the result of what happened. That represents prayer. That represents taking everything to him. That represents the consecration, the giving over. So prayer is partnership with God. It's the driving force behind all of the other facets and focuses of our mission. That's why we're talking about it first. That's why we're focusing on taking steps on building the house of prayer, the praying church right now. Right? We have these other focuses in our vision, right? We want to see healing. We want to see God break through in all types of healings, physical healings, emotional healings, deliverance from demonic influence. It's already an area that we see God do a lot of stuff in, but there's so much more. We want to see God step in to bring restoration and to be a safe place for those that have been victims, that have been abused. We want to stand with them. We want to see God release justice. You know, righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. And so when God's kingdom is advancing, we will see righteousness and justice established on the earth. Justice is a manifestation of the love of God towards the oppressed. It's just another facet of God's love. Because some people put love and justice opposed to each other. They're not opposed to each other. Justice is an actual aspect of the love of God toward the ones who have been victimized, oppressed, or abused. So we want to see those things happen. Again, we want to be an equipping center, a place of discipleship, of equipping, of empowering, of releasing people, of sending, of missions, of evangelism, of caring for the poor, of outreach, right? All these different things. And that's why we must be a house of prayer. Because the house of God is the gate of heaven. The house of God, Genesis 28, becomes the place. The house of God is the praying people, the praying church. It becomes the gate of heaven, the place where heaven invades earth. That might make no sense to you. Sorry, there's a whole message there that I can't get into right now. What I'm saying is that the praying church is the place where God begins to move. The praying church is the place where God's presence dwells in a manifest way. The praying church is where God's kingdom advances on earth as it is in heaven. And we are in a progression now as a church body. We are seeing God do things. We're seeing God establish things. We really are in a new season. That's not just, you know, hype or just, hey, excitement. No, we're actually progressing into some things. I just actually remembered that today was the 7-year anniversary that my wife and I visited Threshold Church as visitors. It was the last Sunday in February 2013. We came as visitors. We probably raised our hand and got a visitor card. Had no idea that we would be here, or never had the dream of being on staff or being in the pastor. That just, It all unfolded. God is doing something now. Things are being established, and we're advancing. And as we continue to establish prayer first, all of those other areas that I mentioned are going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see God move in those areas. We're going to see God bring the provision. We're going to see God bring the healing. Because we can't do any of that in our own power. And just like it might not seem to make sense in the natural mind, well, hey, if you're called to do all those things, why are you focused on prayer meetings? Hey, if you're called to, you know, bring justice or healing or deliverance, why are you focused on worship and prayer and praying in the Spirit, right? It might not make sense in the natural, but it didn't make sense either for Moses to put his hands up. Because God's ways are different than our ways. And we're going to do it His way, not ours. We're going to do it His way, not man's. And when we do it His way, then He moves and He acts. And when we build according to His design, He fills the house. And so if it doesn't make sense to our natural minds, that's okay. Our natural minds can yield to the kingdom of God. Our natural minds are not in charge. He is. That doesn't mean we turn off our minds or that it's aimless. But we yield our will. We yield our soul. We yield our emotions. We yield our mental capacity under His lordship. And He does the work. It's time to see what God can do. So we are focused on building this house of prayer. I said in my message on February 2nd that that's going to be one of the first steps we're taking, is we want to have a prayer meeting every day of the week. And I didn't just want to, again, cast vision and then you never hear anything about that again. So I'm going to be sharing a quick update on that here. But I also want to say this. Many of you don't realize this, but there's actually an intercessory prayer team in this church called the Prayer Force. I want to honor you if you're on the Prayer Force. If you're part of the Prayer Force, would you stand up to your feet? If you're on the Prayer Force, go ahead. I see some of you just looking around. Stand up. Stand up to your feet. Can we just clap our hands? Can we honor this team? Stay standing. I know there's several more that maybe aren't here today. There's about 15 people that are a prayer force. They're interceding every week for Threshold Church, for leadership, for direction, for things that are going on. Every Sunday morning, there are two people on the prayer force that are interceding during the service. Most of you might not even know that. They're praying. They're Moses lifting his hands up to God. And I believe God's going to continue to build that group of intercessors. He's going to be adding to that. If you're a member here and you're interested in finding out, talk to Paul Brumel about that. That's one of our prayer focuses. But the other is prayer gatherings. Right now we have three prayer meetings every week. Friday night, Barbendale Works House. Tuesday morning early, 5:30 in the morning at Paul Brumel's house. Sunday morning right here, 9:30, pre-service prayer. But we want to have a prayer meeting every day of the week. And we're actually working towards that. We've had several people that have reached out and said, hey, I'm interested in leading a prayer gathering. And we had an informational meeting. And you're going to be seeing probably in the next two months, it's very likely that we'll have three or four more prayer gatherings, maybe all seven. I'm not sure yet. We wouldn't go at God's pace. I want to force it to happen. So it has to be the right people, the right time. But I just want you to know there's progress being made, and I want to encourage you to get involved in our prayer gatherings. Find a way to build into your schedule what works for you to be involved. What works for you might be different than what works for your neighbor. We all have different things going on in our life, family things, different capacity, right? So this is not going to be a driving thing where we're just trying to force people to do something. But find out what works for you. I know there's one couple that Anna was talking to that they just decided once a month, they're just going to block out a Friday night. So for them, once a month, them and their kids, they're going to go to Friday night prayer meeting. Do something like that. We have enough people that gather together. We have enough members that we could really be a house of prayer. Find out what it means for you to plug into one of these prayer meetings. Maybe it's once a month you pick one. Maybe it's once a week you attend one. But find out what it means for you to do that. So you're going to hear more news about that. We're going to be launching more prayer gatherings. Like I said, probably in the next, probably March or April at the latest, you'll be hearing some news about some new prayer meetings. But let's continue to grow that. Let's stand to our feet here. Chad, would you come up? I wanted to be fairly quick so we could have some time of intercession. I hope this message is helpful to see how it connects together. Sometimes, you know, we hear something and we don't know why. Well, why? What's the purpose of it? Why are we praying? Or why are we doing prayer gatherings? I really hope that this helps bring more of the why. It brings more of the why. And as I was just praying and discerning how to pray after this time and what to focus on, what I really felt like is that one of the things we're going to do, we might do some other things, but one of the things we're definitely going to do is we're going to have a time of intercession for Tuesday night's deliverance service. Because I'm not just going to Threshold, we're all going to that service, we're all going. I'm not saying you have to actually attend, you can. But this is a body thing. This is not just a Jake and his little team and Chad and his team. This is a Threshold thing that we are going. And we need you. I'm telling you guys, I've never felt the need for just a greater just breakthrough and just a personal anointing for deliverance. I mean, just this past week, I've had so many different, I had two phone calls and other things coming in, just text messages, phone calls of situations that these are dire situations. These are hard cases. These are things that people are needing a breakthrough. And they don't need to encounter me when they get there on Tuesday night. They need to encounter Jesus. If he doesn't come and move, it's not anything. They don't need a good message. They don't just need to hear good information. They need an encounter with the living God. And it's not going to happen without the prayers of God's people. I want to right now just encourage some of you right now, put a note in your calendar for Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, to pray. Put a note in your calendar to pray. Who's going to pray on Tuesday night? Who's going to pray? Who's going to pray? Just put your hand up if you're going to pray. You don't do it if you can't. Just don't feel pressure. But if you'll say, yes, I'll pray on Tuesday night while you're there, at some point between 7 and 9 is the service. I'll take 5 minutes and I'll pray. Maybe it's, I'll, you know, but guys, we need to begin joining prayer with mission. They need to be married together. We're going to be intentional about this. You know, when the prison team is going into the prison, we need to have people interceding and praying. When we send this team to India, they're not going to go alone, guys. We're going to be carrying them in prayer. We need to be interceding. There are people that are going to be coming this Tuesday night that are desperate for a touch from God, desperate for a breakthrough, desperate for a deliverance, and they need the Holy Spirit to move. I want us to take just the next 5 minutes, and we're going to intercede for Tuesday night. I want, guys, we're going to cry out to God as if it was yourself, as if it was your own child, as if it was someone you were desperate to see get healed and get delivered. So I'm going to start us, but guys, let's lift up our voices and begin to pray right now. Father, God, I thank you in the name of Jesus, God, that you're the God who sees and you're the God who hears prayer. And so, Father, right now we lift up our hands to you. We lift up our voices to you, God, in intercession, Father. Begin to cry out to God. Begin to lift up your voice to God. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to pray out to God. Begin to cry out for His Spirit to move. God, we say, your kingdom come, Lord, this Tuesday night. God, your kingdom come this Tuesday night. God, would you move, God? Would you pour out your Spirit, Lord? God, would you release that same anointing that was upon Jesus that healed the broken heart and set the captives free? Father, we need you to move, God. God, we don't just need another meeting. We don't just need another message. We don't just need, God, a good information, Lord. We need encounters with you, the living God. God, pour out the Holy Spirit, Lord. The chains will be melted off. The chains be broken off, Father. Just keep praying. I'm gonna stop from the microphone. Just let you guys pray out. Come on, just pray it out. Pray it out. Your kingdom come. Let's begin to pray that chains of addiction are going to be broken this Tuesday night. Begin to pray right now. Chains of addiction will be broken in the name of Jesus on Tuesday night. Pray that out right now. Pray for chains of bondage and addiction to be broken. Pray that drug addiction will be broken. Pray that drug addiction will be broken. God, the world doesn't have the answer. You have the answer. You have the answer, God. You're the only answer. You're the only answer that's going to bring complete healing and freedom. God, we pray that drug addiction be broken and all the effects of it will be healed. Begin to pray that mental torment will be broken. Begin to pray that mental torment and anguish be broken. Father, we declare that the spirit of torment leaves. We declare that torment is broken in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We're going to stay in this place of intercession for another 5 or 10 minutes. If it helps you to move out and come to the front, you can do that. If it helps you to go on your knees, do that. If it helps you to go to the back, just do whatever you need to do. As we're just going to stay in this place of intercession. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray that the very place, that Gateway House of Prayer will be filled with the atmosphere of heaven. God, that people will be delivered even in the midst of worship. Father, in the name of Jesus, God. Even in the midst of worship and prayer, let your presence fill that place, God. Let your glory fill that place to such a degree, God, that chains are broken right in the midst of worship, that you move sovereignly, Lord, that minds are restored and healed, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, that you'd be glorified. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God, that your kingdom would come. I thank you that you're going to break the spirit of witchcraft, Lord, this Tuesday night. You're going to break a spirit of witchcraft, and a spirit of the occultism is broken in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of the occult is broken. Every python spirit of divination is broken. Lord, that you're breaking it off even this Tuesday night in the name of Jesus. We call captives out of captivity. We call you out of captivity, out of brokenness, out of prisons, into freedom. Thank you, God. Chad sings this chorus. We're going to sing this. This is where we're still in intercession. This song is going to be an intercession. It's going to continue our intercession over even over Tuesday night. We're praying for heaven to come. We're praying as Jesus told us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So even as we sing this together, it's part of our intercession. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Amen.
Sing it out. Yours is the kingdom.
Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever.
Share what she sees. She's seeing what's happening in the spirit as we're praying, and so I think it connects. It's going to encourage us here.
As we were praying, I just felt this, like I was on the ground, and I felt like my elbow was to the dirt, like if there was a something like a weed, a big weed or a tree that needed to be uprooted, and we were just like digging down in the dirt with our bare hands and like our elbows, and like somebody would be doing a deep tissue massage, but like in the ground and just like breaking up that dirt. And I was thinking about times where there's a deliverance that's like kind of stuck, when something is just like not able to be released. And I just felt like this intercession is what breaks up the ground and just loosens up that root, so that when that moment of deliverance comes, it can come right out of the ground.
Yes. Hey, I want us to pray for a couple minutes into that, because that's so key. And I want you guys to, this is not just an empty exercise, guys. What we're doing here matters for how God's going to move on Tuesday night. And the prayers that happen Tuesday as we're there, they matter. And so I want us to, let's pray into what you saw. The ground being loosened, hearts being made ready, strongholds being broken. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you to loosen up the ground, Father. God, loosen up the ground so the strongholds can be uprooted, Father. Loosen up the ground, God, so that the chains can be broken. God, prepare the way in the hearts of people, Lord, to be able to receive deliverance. God, to be able to be repentant and open and willing and ready. God, let the ground be loosened up, God. Let the ground be loosened up, God, so every demonic spirit will leave by the name of Jesus. Just begin to cry out to the Lord for that right now. Take another minute or two. Thank you. God, break up the hardened ground, Lord. God, we pray an uprooting of generational strongholds, Lord. We declare that generational strongholds and curses that have passed through family lines will be uprooted by the name of Jesus. They'll be uprooted by the name of Jesus. We cry out to you, God, to do the work. We thank you, God, for your glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Curtis felt led to have a time of prayer of just actually, I guess you want to share maybe?
Yeah, I just felt we should have a time of prayer for Jake specifically as he leads. If you think about a flock of geese, there's one at the point, and anyone else who's planning to be there, I don't know if anyone's planning to be there, but if you are, just raise your hand up and we can gather around and pray for you. So just raise your hand up now. If you're around somebody that has their hand up, lay your hands on them. And I can lead us, and we'll start out in a time of prayer.
If you're planning to be at the deliverance service this week, and especially if you're going to be on the ministry team, I know some of you are going to be on the ministry team, or the worship team. If you're on the worship team, if you're on the prayer, if you're going to be on part of the prayer ministry, this is a commissioning. It's a commissioning.
Yeah. So just gather around anybody that's planning to be there. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come right now. I declare. Isaiah 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound." Acts 10:38 says, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So, Holy Spirit, I invite you to come in power in the name of Jesus, that you would fill Jake, you would fill the worship team, you would fill everyone that's there to minister your word in the name of Jesus, God, that your word would run swiftly in the name of Jesus, God, that you would bring deliverance and power, God. Those who have been bound up, who've gone to counselors, who've been on medication, God, that you would bring freedom and deliverance in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. God, increase the anointing in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Teach us to pray, God. God, I just ask there be a supernatural unity on the team, God, that you would anoint Chad as he leads worship. God, that your spirit, a spirit of freedom would be there, God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. May your spirit be there, just bringing freedom in the name of Jesus. May your truth go forth, that people would know the truth, and the truth would set them free, God. Just release the sword of the Spirit to bring freedom in Jesus' name, the word of God, may it run swiftly in Jesus' name. We bless Jake and the team in Jesus' name. May we be behind them, supporting them in prayer, God. May you burden us with prayer, God. Come, Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen. I just feel led to say this too. As you're praying and interceding for Tuesday night, ask God to send angels on assignment. Angels are sent to do battle in the spiritual realm. Ask God to send angels on assignment.
I was just going to say that I felt like we needed to pray for angels, because when you started praying that song, playing that song about break every chain, I saw people with chains that were connected to their ancestors, to the previous generations, and they were connected to dead people. And then I saw angels coming with these huge scissors and just cutting through the chains. So Lord, we just thank you that you are going to send an army of angels, and that you through those angels are going to break every chain. Lord, that you're going to break generational curses.
So earlier before he even started talking about angels, I just saw like legions of angels streaming out of heaven as we prayed. And they were like setting up camp, like they were congregating and getting ready for Tuesday night. Like, you know how before, like in war or whatever, like the army comes and sets up camp and they get ready. And that's just what I saw. And they were just like streaming down with their swords. And so I think that our prayers have really like prepared Tuesday night for the team. And so, yeah, there's definitely angels with you and they're getting ready to battle.
Well, and just to confirm even the word about camp, I was just going to read Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. There are angels that are sent to bring deliverance. Yeah. And God uses angels in his kingdom. We don't worship angels, but we also don't ignore angels. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. So God, let's just pray right now. God, I thank you that you are sending angels on assignment. We ask you to continue, Lord. Commission your angels. We ask you to send spiritual warriors in the heavenly realms. Send angels on assignment to push back the kingdom of darkness. We say that nothing will hinder your work this Sunday night. This Tuesday night. We say nothing will hinder your work, Father, or what you want to do. Nothing will hinder, Lord. We declare the gates of hell will not prevail against the church that you're building. We declare, Father, in the name of Jesus, that the angels of God push back the powers of darkness, break the strongholds, break the generational curses. Send them, Father. Send your angels, God. I think that your angels are protecting and that they're breaking chains, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I want you just to put your hand on the shoulder of a person next to you, and I just want to close by just praying for strengthening over each other. Pray for strengthening over each other. You're not an audience, you're an army. Begin to pray for the person next to you. These are people that you're in battle with. These are people that you are walking with. And then Anna, I want you to share as we dismiss. So you pray over the person next to you. We're in the battle together. Father, strengthen us to pray and strengthen us to obey. Strengthen us to pray and strengthen us to take action. God, raise up those that are like Joshua that are going out into the battlefield. Raise up those that are like Moses and Aaron and Hur that are lifting the hands up. God, we need every part. We need every piece, God. I just call forth every member of the army of God. I say, take your place. I call forth the members of the family of God. Take your place. Every gift is needed. Every calling is needed. Father, I thank you that you're raising up your army in this region. I thank you, Father. Just pray for another minute or so. Just strengthen, God, your people. Grace, 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 grace.
Hey, guys, just one last thing. It's just been burning in me as Jake's been preaching. This church body is made up of each one of us as individuals. And so if we're going to be a praying church, we must be a praying people. And so I just wanted to encourage you. It's not just about, you know, coming to the prayer gatherings. That's super important. And there's something that happens when we gather together. But also be a praying person. Be a praying spouse. Be a praying parent. So yes, in your quiet time with the Lord, pray, intercede, contend, but also pray with your spouse. Guys, make it a priority like you would a date night. Schedule times to pray together where you pray over each other and then where together you intercede for other situations. As parents, pray with your children. I don't know how many times I get a text message of bad news and I can't share the details with my children, but we're together and I say, come on, guys, we got to pray. And we go to war for that situation. They don't even know what they're praying for, but they know that we don't pray in theory, we pray in practice. Make that the normal for your family, guys. Let's be a praying people. Let's be praying families. Okay, a praying church needs to be made up of the smaller parts. And so wherever you're at, start where you're at. But become more comfortable with making prayer part of all day, every day. Okay, personally, you can intercede while you're working, while you're cooking, while you're driving, right? Pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. Teach your children to pray. It doesn't have to be long drawn out. It might be a minute. Okay, guys, quick, let's intercede, right? And then we move on and we go back to what we're doing. but it's teaching them to be a people of prayer, and it's teaching them to war for others. Guys, as we are called to be intercessors, our children are called to be intercessors, but they will learn it from us. We will lead them, and then they will probably lead us, all right? So just be encouraged. I just make it, this is not just about Threshold Sunday morning prayer gatherings in the week. This is about us every day of the week in our regular lives too, okay? So let's be a people of prayer. God, I pray for a fresh release of just a burden for prayer. God, would you stir up a fire in us, God, to pray without ceasing. Father, would you just by your spirit, God, would you catch us in those moments where we're just wasting time or where there's a need that comes that we're going to put it off to later to just pray right in that moment. Lord, I just ask that you would train us to be a people of prayer. Holy Spirit, draw us into that place. Father, that we would learn to intercede with our spouse, that we would learn to intercede with our children. Father, I just thank you for families being raised up as little pockets of special forces all around this county. Lord, I just thank you for that. I thank you for the release that is happening. Lord, we yield ourselves to you, and we just ask you to draw us deeper. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. For more information about Threshold Church, visit the website at threshold-church.com.